All right, let's dive into this. We're taking a deep dive, and this one's all about communication. You guys know I love this
It's
stuff.
fascinating, isn't it?
It is, especially this lecture you all sent in by Dr. George Payton. Now, he's a Bible translation expert,
He is.
but you'd be surprised how much his insights apply to like everyday
Oh,
conversations.
yeah, absolutely.
He even does this bit where he translates like a regular campground sign
Oh, right.
into teenager speak.
I remember that, yeah.
It is so funny. So the original sign, you know, it politely tells campers to report any issues, blah, blah, blah. But the teen version, it's like, sup, HMU, if you see anything sus or cringe.
It's brilliant.
It's so good. And it really highlights like the gap between the words we use and what we're actually trying to do with them.
Right, and Dr. Payton has this term for it. He calls them speech acts.
Speech acts. Okay. So it's not just about the dictionary definition, it's about what is the speaker actually doing with the words.
Tell me more. I'm hooked already.
Well, in the Bible, blessings and curses were considered speech acts.
Yeah.
Like they had real power, Words could actually change reality.
Whoa. I never thought about blessings and curses like that, but that makes total sense. Like the words themselves were, I don't know, almost magical.
Right.
But how does this speech act idea, how does that play out in like regular everyday conversations?
It helps us understand the real meaning behind what people are saying,
Yeah.
which can get complicated.
Right.
Dr. Payton talks about this thing called skewing, where what's said and what's meant, there's a mismatch.
Okay.
Like if your roommate says, "We're out of milk," they're
Yeah.
not just stating a fact, are they?
It's the go get milk signal.
Exactly.
But isn't there a danger in overanalyzing every little thing people say? I mean, couldn't that lead to like misinterpretations?
Yeah, you're right. It's not about looking for a hidden agenda in every sentence,
Right.
but it is about understanding that communication, it happens on different levels.
Oh.
We need to consider the context, the relationships, the shared knowledge between the people talking.
So, like with the milk example,
Yeah.
you know, I know my roommate hates going to the store
Right.
and we both drink milk. So it's pretty clear what they're getting at.
Exactly.
But it sounds like things can get really complicated when you don't have that shared knowledge.
Absolutely. And Dr. Payton says that communication is, he calls it an inferential process,
Okay.
where the speaker implies something and the listener infers the meaning. And whether that works or not really depends on that shared context.
I'm with you, I think. So, like, I might say something, meaning one thing, but if you don't have the same background, you might take it a totally different way.
Exactly. Think about like a daughter asks her mom, "Can I watch TV?"
Okay, classic.
And mom says, "Have you finished your homework?" Now, on the surface, it's just a question, right?
Yeah.
But in that context, they both know what's really being said.
Oh, totally. No TV until you finish your homework. It's the mom code.
Right. But what about situations where it's more ambiguous, like someone trying to be polite, but they don't want to hurt your feelings?
Ugh, yeah, those are tricky.
Think about like a guy asking a girl out on Friday night,
Yeah.
and she says, "I'm busy." He's hoping for a date, but she's signaling, maybe politely, maybe not, that she's not interested.
Ouch. Yeah. Makes you realize how much can go unsaid
Right.
and how easy it is to misinterpret those little signals, especially with cultural differences. Dr. Payton talks about that American in Japan, right?
Yes, the one on the train making eye contact with everyone.
Yeah. And he's oblivious. Even when his friend tells him to look at his feet, he's
He
clueless.
doesn't get it, yeah, until it's spelled out for him.
It's like what's polite in one culture can be totally different in another. We
Exactly.
can't assume everyone communicates the same way or reads those nonverbal cues the same.
Yeah. It's also interesting how assumptions about shared knowledge can pop up even in casual conversations. Dr. Payton mentions this student asking him about his music playlist.
Oh, right. Yeah. Seems harmless enough, but it reveals assumptions about, like, how people even listen to music, what technology they use, their musical taste.
It's true, we take so much for granted when we talk to each other.
Right.
We're always making judgments about what other people know, and those assumptions can make or break communication.
Think of it like this. As listeners, we're constantly deciding, why is this person telling me this? Is it relevant to me?
Yeah.
Is it even worth the effort to figure out what they mean?
And if the answer is no, we tune out. We've all been in that meeting or lecture where we just can't connect with what's being said.
Right. It's like our brains are filtering out information that just feels irrelevant.
Exactly. And that brings us to this cool connection Dr. Payton makes between communication and, wait for it, Bible translation.
Yeah.
So, how does translating an ancient text relate to you know, our everyday chit chat. What can we learn from these professional meaning decoders?
Right. Stick with us. We'll unpack all of this in the next part of your deep dive. Okay, so we just talked about how easy it is to misunderstand each other, even in like normal conversations. But now I'm thinking, how does that play out when you're dealing with ancient texts, like, you know, the Bible?
Right, yeah.
Seems like the potential for getting things wrong would be even bigger.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine, like, trying to explain, I don't know, dialing a phone to someone who's only ever used a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Like, the words themselves might make sense.
Yeah.
But the overall idea, it's just lost.
Totally lost.
And that's kind of the challenge that Bible translators face all the time.
So where do they even begin with that? Do they just, like, add a bunch of footnotes and hope for the best?
It's tricky, for sure. Dr. Payton, he makes this point that translators, they have to work with this assumption, right? They have to assume that the biblical authors, they actually had something important to say.
Okay, yeah.
And they wanted people to understand it.
That makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't spend years, like, painstakingly writing on scrolls if you didn't think your message was worth preserving.
Exactly.
But then how do you make sure that that message, it still makes sense to people living thousands of years later in a totally different world?
Exactly. That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Modern readers, they might not get the nuances, the cultural references, the historical context that gave the text its original meaning.
Yeah.
So the translator has to decide, do we try to fill in those gaps?
Right.
Or do we risk, you know, confusing people with language that feels super old-fashioned?
It's like they're not just translating words. They're translating a whole culture.
Yeah.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Right? And there's no one right answer. Because some translations, they try to stick to the original wording as much as possible.
Okay.
Even if it sounds a little weird to us now. Others, they go for, like, clarity and making it easy to read, even if it means rewording things or adding explanations.
So it's like a trade-off between accuracy and, like, accessibility. But how do they choose? What are the, like, guiding principles there?
Relevance is huge. Dr. Payton, he says that if a translation is too hard to understand or doesn't seem relevant to people's lives, people will just stop reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that saying, you know, if a tree falls on a forest and no one's around to hear it,
doesn't make a sound.
Right. So if a text is written but no one understands it,
is
it really communicating anything?
That's a great point. It shows how important it is for translators to make these ancient texts, make them come alive for modern readers.
Yeah.
But without, you know, messing with the original meaning.
It's about building a bridge, connecting people across time and culture through language.
You know, we've been talking about Bible translation, but I'm realizing we all do a kind of translation in our own lives.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you have to explain something complicated to a kid, you can't use the same words and approach as you would with, like, a coworker.
That's true. You have to adjust your communication style depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah. It's like we're constantly translating our thoughts and ideas so that other people can understand them.
Definitely.
This whole deep dive has been so eye-opening. It's really making me think about communication in a different way. It's not just words, you know. Yeah. It's about shared understanding, cultural context, the whole dance between what's said and what's left unsaid.
And it's a dance that we're all part of, whether we realize it or not. Every conversation, every text message, every email.
It's all part of this giant web of communication.
It is.
So how do we get better at it? How do we bridge those gaps in understanding and make sure that our messages are actually getting through?
Let's find out in the final part of your deep dive.
Okay.
Okay, so we've covered a lot in this deep dive. We've talked about how words can be actions, how context changes meaning, even how translating, you know, ancient texts can help us understand everyday conversations. But big question is, how do we actually use all of this?
Yeah, that's the key, right? It's one thing to talk about communication in theory.
But how do we actually put these ideas into practice?
Exactly. It's like we've uncovered all these communication traps.
Right.
And now I need, like, a map to get out of the maze.
Well, I think it starts with being more aware of, like, the subtle things that shape our interactions.
Okay.
Like those assumptions we talked about. Remember that inferential process?
Yeah.
We're always making judgments about what other people know. And those judgments, they can be totally off.
So step one is recognizing that we even make those assumptions. And then I guess trying to be more aware of them when we're actually talking to someone.
Right. And a good way to do that is to just ask yourself, what am I assuming this person knows?
Go ahead.
And just as important, am I being clear about what I mean?
It's like we have to become translators in our own conversations.
Yeah.
Bridge that gap between what we're thinking and what the other person is actually hearing.
Exactly. And sometimes, like with those Bible translations, we might need to give a little extra context.
Right.
Think of it like adding footnotes to your conversation.
I like that. So instead of just saying, we're out of milk, I might say, hey, I'm going to the store later. Do you need anything?
Exactly. That way there's no room for confusion.
Yeah, no more passive-aggressive milk requests.
Right. And then on the other side, when you're listening, remember that you're also making assumptions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So instead of jumping to conclusions, ask clarifying questions. Like, can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah.
Or what did you mean by...
It all comes back to being present in the conversation.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking or listening, paying attention not just to the words, but to like the tone of voice, body language, all those little things that add extra meaning.
Active listening. Exactly. It's about showing that you're really interested in what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
And that you're trying to understand their perspective.
You know, this whole deep dive has been a real eye-opener for me. I'm definitely going to be more mindful about how I communicate.
It's a journey, right?
Yeah.
There's always room to grow.
That's true.
But by putting these ideas into practice, we can all become better communicators, build stronger relationships, and avoid those misunderstandings that can cause so much trouble.
Absolutely. So as you go about your day, think about this. How can you use these ideas in your own life? How can you become a more thoughtful speaker and a more engaged listener? Because at the end of the day, communication, it's all about connecting with other people, understanding them, and helping them to understand you.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and happy communicating, everyone.